You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Okay. And this hour, we're going to be talking about some of the incredible work that is being done to try and raise awareness and also funds for feminine hygiene products. And this is something that I am obviously very passionate about, because when we talk about gender inequality in this country, it starts young. And boys and girls have access to different resources in this country. And it's just shocking how many school days are lost annually because so many teen girls in our country are unable to go to school just because you're menstruating. I mean, that's something you can't control. It happens once a month for most women and girl children, for teenagers. And yet we tend as a society to spend free resources on things like condoms, even though I can choose whether or not I want to have sex as a man. So there are very strange things going on in the world out there. And the MENA Foundation does amazing work in that regard with a very interesting product. I featured the founder of the foundation last year on the show, you will recall. But I think it's very important that we come back to these conversations, because these are ongoing realities in society. These are not things that are just events that you can deal with and then everything is okay. Well, joining me in the studio is Shimona Kandia, who's the senior manager of the health portfolio at the Transnet Foundation. I feel like I've known you for a very long time, eh? How are you?
Well, thanks, Eusebius.
Thank you so much for coming.
Great shout out to everybody in 702 land.
Thank you so much. And then there is a very polite, eloquent, beautiful young lady who is next to Shimona, who is also here with us, Khomotso Shibane. Khomotso, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for being here. I'm really excited.
Should you be at school?
It's a secret. Let's not tell it.
Which school are you from?
I am from Newgate College. It's Boundary and Houghton Isles. Yes, borderline Parktown and Hillbrook.
Okay. Well, yes. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And I hope that you will enjoy this hour with us here on the radio. I'm going to start firstly with you, Shimona. I mean, there's so much that the Transnet Foundation does, obviously. Why the partnership with the MENA Foundation?
Well, we took an interest a couple of years ago in promoting women's health, in issues of gender equality, social justice. The foundation has always been about development, and this particular area of work that we're involved in has an immense impact in society, which very few people realize. The fact that women are leaders, that we can inculcate a whole generation of young girls and drive them to be future somebodies in South Africa. So that for us is what started the journey at the Transnet Foundation, investing in young women today and ensuring that young women have a fighting chance. And Transnet Foundation has been very, very heavily involved in advocacy of simply leveling the playing fields out there for young women.
Absolutely. Well, let the young women speak for themselves. Khomotso, I want you to come in here, right? There are some things that we're very bad at talking about in society, and yet they're so important. Tell us about the CUP, where you've come in, what your experience has been with the MENA Foundation, and why you are here today, why this is so important for you to be an ambassador for.
Okay, firstly, as I mentioned, I go to Newgate College, so we have a girls' club that runs every Friday with Teddy Bear Clinic, and that is how we met the MENA Foundation. We had the founder, Zakira, and a few of her colleagues come by at school 2 years ago, and they introduced it to us, right? So, yes, we got to know the cup, and it's a menstrual cup that is actually very easy to use. And I think the fact that it is so eco-friendly also adds, and the fact that it is really cost-effective, because I think one thing we really don't realize is how expensive pads are, and to have to buy them every month in households whereby you have over 5 girls having to buy a pack, which usually does not even last an entire month, is something that I don't think most South Africans actually realize and really think about on a daily basis. And the fact that periods are something that are usually shunned, you're not supposed to talk about it even at school. You're supposed to be in your own little corner and just secluded from the entire world during that. And I think that is why I am here today, to speak about that, the fact that more people need to take action.
Absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. Also joining us in the studio is Shari, Dr. Motlana, who's a specialist psychiatrist and one of the co-founders, and who's also on the MENA board. Dr. Motlana, it's lovely to see you. How are you?
Good morning, Eusebius. It's lovely to be back on your show.
I've been wanting you back, Wena, but we finally have you. Thanks for coming on. I don't know if you missed there. Khomotsa just gave us a beautiful summary of some of the important aspects of the MENA Foundation in terms of this product, how eco-friendly it is, what it does for girls as well. You are a very busy professional, but you've chosen to get involved with the work of the MENA Foundation. Besides the charisma of the founder, what was the other reason for you why you got drawn into the work of the foundation?
I think the MENA has a life of its own. And our story was that we wanted to do something to make a difference. And when Zakira came up with the idea of the cup, it was really born out of her wanting to make a difference around a Women's Day. And I was taken up by the fact that despite being a medical professional, I was completely unaware of the menstrual cup. And much to my surprise, it's something that's been around since the 1920s, discovered or invented by an actress. And it seems to be the world's best kept secret. Most women don't know about it. And if I think they gave it, if we had an opportunity to really share how wonderful it is being a user of our own product, which we think is really special with the, well, I can't say exactly how we make it. I almost gave our secret away, but I think our cups are comfortable. We have one of the smallest cups, around. And, you know, especially if you're talking about young girls and women who are active, it really gives them a lot of freedom, and especially the fact that you don't have to empty it as frequently as you would, for example, have to change a pad or sanitary towel. It doesn't restrict movement. But what we want to message especially is that this is not a cup that we're giving out to poor girls. This is a cup that all women, womanity we call it, should be using as a choice, because A, there's the environment to consider, and B, if you can afford a sanitary towel and choose to use it, I hope you sleep with good conscience knowing that one sanitary towel takes 500 years to biodegrade. And, you know, so we have tons of waste and all that we don't know what to do about. If you look at the Caribbean islands, they're islands of waste. And we really need people to sit up and pay attention. And it's that and wanting to make a difference in girls' lives. So yes, it was a combination of things that
drew us to MENA. So that's what I love about MENA, right? It's almost like there are many different MENAs for every woman out there, because you can come to MENA, who is an entire personality, really, with very different commitments, and you don't even have to choose between them. But what caught my attention was the different advantages that, although the immediate call to action is to make sure that particularly our young girls do not miss out on school attendance, that MENA is also green, for example, which was an interesting fact for me. She's green and also cheaper.
Yes. I think it's one of the most effective solutions. So I know government spent a lot of money on sanitary towels, and people say, ooh, the cup. And that's why it's also very important in our language. We don't talk about a cup, because people have quite distorted ideas of what a cup is. This is something very small, fits in really into the palm of your hand, just a few centimeters. And it really is, you fold it up like a tampon and quite discreet. So it really is about teaching people, educating them about options. And if people really understood and were exposed to it, they would choose that over sanitary towels. So yes, there's a need for that. But I think the environmental impact is something we really do emphasize, the sustainability, the fact that a cup can last 5 to 10 years and you don't have to replace it. You know, giving out sanitary towels is not sustainable. And absolutely, I'm sure Shimoma can speak to that.
Yeah.
We just simply don't have the funds to provide many girls who go into menzies every year the sanitary towels.
Absolutely. Yeah. 14 minutes after 10, we're going to talk on the other side of this break about how the cup has been received when they go into schools. What do they do? What have been some of the challenges? If you have any questions or comments for my panel, give us a call throughout this hour on 011-883-0702. I'd love to hear from you if you've used the cup, for example, and what your experience has been in Cape Town on 021-446-0567.
Use CBS Makaiser on 702. And Cape Talk.
17 minutes after 10, we're talking about the importance of feminine hygiene products, and this one in particular, the MENA cup. It's so interesting when people first hear about MENA, the reactions, Shimon, are very different. Some people are excited when they hear some of the facts, like the ones we've heard from Khomotso and also from Shadi, in terms of why the cup matters and what difference it can make, sort of a top line fact. But then I've also seen some women who haven't yet used the product going, this thing looks like it looks awkward and invasive and stuff. How does it actually work, and how is it received when the foundation does work?
I think one of the things that's key, Eusebius, in this whole recipe is spreading awareness on what the cup actually is, dispelling those myths. And people then become very receptive. People are naturally curious. And when you offer it as a choice, you know, you have the choice. These are the things that are traditionally existing in society out there. We find these products on our shelves, but the cup is not available typically on the shelves. And when we take it into schools initially, the very important part that we do, which is different from other work that may be going on out there, is to invite participation of from parents, from traditional leaders, the school governing body. And that is really our first point of contact. And then we set up little focus groups with girls themselves, with the learners, and we allow them and afford them an opportunity to make a decision about what's important in their lives. So the way in which the cup works is, you know, as with any other traditional product that is out there, except that the cup fits inside the body. Nobody sees it. Sometimes, I mean, some of the girls have said, you know what, Auntie Shimona, I've actually forgotten that I've had my cup on. Yeah. And and then we go, oh, and say, no, but I remembered, don't worry. But, you know, something very important for us to consider is that the South African landscape is so diverse and so different. And communities in areas that we've worked with, for example, in Limpopo, are very vast and different from communities in traditional areas in KZN. But despite all of this, it is absolutely amazing to hear the story of the journey that Mina takes girls on. And I call it a journey because Mina actually teaches girls to embrace this journey, to embrace their womanhood, if you can call it that, not to be ashamed of their culture, of, you know, the type of traditional practices, and to open up to dialogue. But the best element of it is recognizing that, contrary to popular belief, youth in this country actually have a very firm head on their shoulders. The majority of youth that have gone through our program, you know, the Transnet program, and I mean, Khumotso is a typical picture of what these fiery young women look like. They know what they want. They know where they're going. All they need is somebody to embrace them and give them that opportunity.
Khumotso, I saw you chuckling there when Auntie Shimona was talking about forgetting about the cup. How has it been received by you and your peers?
Well, firstly, like you said, when you first receive it, you're just like, oh, my word. But I think once you get educated about it, it actually is an amazing cup. And like she said, you actually do forget. That is how comfortable it is. Because for one, I am one person. I use the bus. I'm forever active. Even at school, they call me a busy bee. So, you know, when you're wearing your pad, it's just not as comfortable. But with the Mina cup, you're actually quite comfortable. You can swim. You can do various soft sports activities, which you could not typically do with a pad and a tampon. And I think even even amongst my peers, it's been well received, because once you make an informed decision, because it really is your choice to take, do you want to continue feeling uncomfortable and, or are you actually going to take a stand? Because it's the reality of truth. It's what every woman has to go through, whether you like it or not. And most of us don't like it, obviously. But it's our reality, and it makes it that much more comfortable, that much more enjoyable. You don't have to feel like, okay, I can't participate in certain things because of this. And it's actually something, I think, you know, like, she's her own personality, and she is a hero in herself, because she allows you, she gives you the strength to be, you know what, I can be what I want to be. Yeah. You can look out for it. And being a woman is actually something quite cool. It's okay to throw like a girl and do things like a girl. It's amazing.
You are very cool. Do you want to take over the show? I think it'll be good
careful,
for my ratings.
I might just take your show.
It'll be very good for my ratings. Okay, put on your headphones, those of you who have, hopefully all of you, and let's engage the public as well. Lizette, good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi, Lizette.
Hi, Eusebius and guests. I feel jumping for joy into your studio. When I was driving to work, I listened to your topics, and I was so excited because we at UNISA met with the Mina Cup Foundation late last year, and I wanted to actually get more information about the product, because at school there's a lot of activities to provide students with sanitary pads and so on. Mm. And then we listened to the Mina Cup Foundation and we thought of, let's go and visit them and to see what's the possibility for us to work with them and to look at giving it to first-year students that it can sustain their whole studies. Can you imagine how lighter the burden will be on first-year students and they can complete their degrees? At the end of the degree, the MENA Cup can sustain them. So what we did when we came back, we set up a meeting with our SLC and we're going to facilitate a gender-based violence workshop with them where we're going to, as part of the conference package, give all SLC women leaders a MENA Cup to use. But coupled with that, we partnered with our College of Science, with our colleges of Humanities in Psychology, and we're doing extensive research on the preparedness and the attitudes, as well as what is the work what we need to do in terms of switching attitudes and some of the myths around the MENA Cup and the differences.
Absolutely.
But our major aim is to give all first-year students, we will start smaller with a pilot, a cup that they can use for their whole study.
That is stunning. Absolutely stunning. Thank you for sharing that, Lizette. And in fact, Zakira told me about this the other day in the response to a sample of the product at Wits University, Shadi. And I thought to myself, you know, we don't talk enough about the trials and tribulations of students. And even those of us who've been students, we kind of like forget how difficult it was. Mm. Now and then, as South Africans, we catch on for 5 seconds to student hunger.
Yes.
Now and then, we will talk about the predation of students sexually and otherwise from many lecturers and staff members and men on campuses. And yet something like menstruation, we don't talk about, and that can be an added silent burden to someone who's just trying to get an education.
Absolutely. So I'm very excited about UNISA. And yes, they did make contact with us last year. And I'm very excited about to hear that they want to embark on this journey. And it's exactly what we're talking and engaging to with the VIT students about with Amnesty on campus. They're partners with us. And today, in fact, we're launching crowdfunding for the students at VITS. And it's called the Thunder Fund. And we would like corporates like Transnet and others to join us today in raising funds for students. And yes, you're quite right, Eusebius. We've been talking about education, but you know, you need food.
Yeah.
You need accommodation so you can actually focus on your studies. Most of us, it's already overwhelming in your first year at university, but you've got children or young adults that come from rural areas, completely different culture, alienated on campus, with actually not even having the basics, let alone the textbooks to cope. And yes, menstrual hygiene products are usually the bottom of the list.
Absolutely.
And if we can provide just that to make a difference, it's one less thing that a young woman has to worry about every month.
Absolutely. And in the second half of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about the fundraising opportunities. And also, we'd like you to dig deep. If you are corporate listening to this conversation, how might you get involved and really make a difference? So many of you often ask me at events as a public speaker, okay, Eusebius, if we distrust the state as a corporate citizen, what can we do to make a difference in our country? Well, the answer is always, for me, very obvious. You need to find those champions within civil society that you can work with. My colleague Marva was saying, for example, I think it was Megan, the Section 27 as an example of a social justice litigation-based organization that does amazing work, the TAC. Mm. It is shocking that these organizations don't have sustainable funding models, and the state is just not coming to the party. And the Scandinavian countries have gone, okay, you've got democracy, we can now withdraw our support in the levels that we had in the 70s and 80s. So we need corporate citizens to be involved, and I will give you information a little bit later. Sheila, good morning. Hello, Sheila.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for holding on and for your patience, Sheila. You've got a question?
Yes. My daughter is very young. She's only 12 and just started her period. And I was wondering if the cup is safe for children that have just started their period with their body still being so slight.
Such a good question. Who's going to handle that one? I'm not going to mansplain these things.
So, actually, when we came up with MENA, we did quite a lot of focus work, really thinking around what it must be like to be a young girl and being faced with inserting a cup inside your body. And with that in mind, we designed something that was soft and small. And as we said, you know, you forget it's in in place. So yes, there's no barrier to using a cup at the age of 12. I think the first time or second time you use it takes some getting used to inserting and taking it out. But once you're comfortable with that, you don't look back. I don't think there's any MENA user who has any regrets. And no, and often we get asked, you know, about girls who start with their menses and what about the hymen? But you know, these are similar questions you can ask about using tampons and the whole fallacy around, you know, whether a girl has an intact or not intact hymen. It was really irrelevant, I think, in this modern age, and we need to empower young women and allow them to celebrate what is normal and natural and is life-giving, because without the menstrual periods, without having our cycle, there would be no humanity, and we need to celebrate that.
Shimona, I see you nodding there in agreement.
Yes, and I think it's also important to reassure mums like Sheila out there who take their children's health really, really at heart, that we have had girls as young as 10, 9 and 10, who have actually started with the MENA cup in our program. So while we are implementing at a high school level, we would have family members who would come to us and say, well, look, you've done this with my daughter who's 15, but I have a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old. Can you tell me, is this okay? Is it safe? And then we take a special interest in MENA. The MENA Foundation has been really, really good in supporting young girls by giving us additional cups to distribute to them when the Transnet budget, which is not a never-ending pot of gold, when we couldn't support, but they would come through their foundation and through the campaign and make available to us cups for mums, cups for older sisters, cups for university sisters. And yes, Sheila, you can rest assured that as long as you have an open and frank discussion and speak to some of the challenges that your young daughter may be facing,
yes,
you can rest assured that it's going to be okay.
Okay. Lauren and Ivana, we're going to get your calls.
Eusebius McKaiser on your number one news and talk station.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stats are just absolutely horrific, how girls are affected by not having access to feminine hygiene products. These stats, I don't know whether they get better or worse over time. I mean, these stats go back a couple of years, but UNESCO has estimated that 1 in 10 girls on our continent miss school because of their periods. I mean, that's just unacceptable, completely unacceptable. And if we look here in South Africa, we're obviously also affected by this, and that's why this matters so much as a matter of human rights, not just a convenience or nice to have. Lauren, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning. How are you, Eusebius? So, Eusebius, I'm a 44-year-old woman, and probably about 12 years ago, I discovered the MENA cup, interestingly, at a sexpo event. At that point, it was extremely expensive. It was unmanageable. I wasn't prepared to spend that money on it. I think at the time, it cost about 600 rand. And since then, prices have come down. They are very accessible, etc. And myself and many socially conscious friends of mine have actually gone a particular route where we've also tried to distribute the cups to individuals as part of social initiatives of our own, you know, to try and make sure that we can get them into communities, both from a poverty recognition perspective, but also from an environmental perspective. And what I've actually found is it has been the most difficult sell, in inverted commas. People are resistant to it, and I think that the issue of the prize of virginity and keeping your virginity intact is an extremely powerful myth, which society is obviously valuing. So when I was a young girl and I first began to menstruate, I obviously went a particular route with regards to the products I was using.
Yeah.
And I became used to that, and I used that for many years. And then when somebody said to me, use a menstrual cup, it took me a very long time to almost have the confidence to try this new thing out. Now, what I have found in terms of my own use of the cup, and sorry to be a little bit graphic, but everybody's internal anatomy is very different. And I think a lot of women really struggle to insert the cup, to get it into the right position, to ensure it's comfortable. And certainly once you perfect it, you've got it. But you can't always get it right at every point.
Yes.
And I've kind of gone through many YouTube videos, huge numbers of, because I wanted to perfect this cup. I wanted to get it right.
And still to this day, I'm battling with it. Mm. And I don't know if it's just the shape of how my body is working or whatever the case is, but I really can't get it to work well every single time. And I think that is an issue. So there's two realities there. I think the first one is, if you are going to try and introduce this at an early level from an educational awareness perspective, there's so much work you have to do around myths. Women often need not more than one cup, they need two cups, etc.
Yes.
And you've got to be in a particular environment where there's technicalities around it. You need to rinse the cup, etc., etc. So there are certain, I suppose, hassle factors that come with it. But specifically, it's not easy for a person to insert it all the time.
Mm.
And I think that is a big problem.
Samara, let's speak to some of Lauren's concern. Lauren, thank you so much. Ochomotso, what has been your experience, rather, with a lot of the girls using the product? I mean, there are two things here that I'm interested in, right? And you can flesh it out however you want. The first is this conversation around virginity.
Yes.
I was wondering whether girls do have the perception that if I'm going to use this cup, that means that I'm losing my virginity. And then just how difficult is it to get used to using the cup? You heard some of the things that Lauren spoke to.
Okay, firstly, the issue of virginity. Obviously, when it was introduced to us, that was also a question that we had. But then I think it also goes back to making an informed decision. Mina does not break your hymen. It does not break your virginity in any way possible. And I think to using it, the insertion of it, first, second time, yes, I agree. It may be a little squeamish, a little invasive. But once you get a hold of that, then it's quite easy to use. For instance, I use it while I'm at school. And, you know, a typical school bathroom is not the most comfortable place ever. But when they give out these Mina packs, it comes in a really, really nice packet, and it's not plastic, so that's a good thing. And so it comes also with hand sanitizer, and with the issue of washing it, you can just take a tissue and wipe it around, insert it back in, use your hand sanitizer, and you're ready to go again. It's something you can use on the go conveniently. Or rather, I have not had those issues, and none of my peers who have used it have had any of those issues as well. Sorry.
And the quality of the facilitation is amazing. So all the things that Lauren is flagging are things which you guys at the foundation and at the Mina Foundation as well, we are profoundly aware of how these things need to be constantly rethought before you go into a school, a university, or a company. Just speak to some of that, Shimona, because some of the young facilitators who work with the Transcend Foundation speak precisely to the kinds of things that Lauren raised.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Eusebius, recognizing that some of the things that Lauren has said are some of the practical realities that the foundation has faced when we've gone out to schools and communities, we've workshopped the Department of Health, some of the nurses themselves. But it is amazing. And Lauren mentioned something that I want to piggyback on, and that is the issue of confidence. You know, leading from confidence comes a whole lot of baggage, really, about myths and taboos and the battle of what the state of our sanitation facilities are like at schools. But in terms of that, we have found that most people are not really comfortable touching themselves because of the taboos around it. You know, you're branded as something that, or someone that is, goes against the grain if you touch your body.
Yeah.
So we teach children to be familiar with their bodies, to explore, to understand how the cup works, where does it fit in. And yes, initially, you know, there's a whole lot of giggles and gags when we get to the workshop, because there's this uncomfortableness about bringing to the forefront of discussion something that we were never allowed to touch base with ever.
Yeah.
But once we talk about it, once they explore, we give them the privacy of, we distribute the cup, but we always promote it as an alternate.
Yes.
And we say, it's about choice.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely about choice. I'm not too sure, you know, there are many different brands out there claiming to do many different things. The foundation has been approached by numerous suppliers. And what we do is, we do not take the decision as Transnet of which brand to support. We throw the decision to the girls out there. And we conduct focus groups. Tell us, would you use a cup? Why would you use it? if you prefer something alternate, why?
And which cup?
And which cup? And we really leave the choice up to them. But yes, I understand those things. We've had to sit in conversations with parliamentarians, as well as conversations with very, very suspicious community members, mums and dads, grandmothers who are entrenched in traditional methods, you know, methods of how things should work.
Yes.
But I have to tell you that people are so open to suggestion. And a couple of months, so the girls in our program remain with us for a duration of at least a minimum of 9 months. And through that journey, they share their insights and their learnings. And when we first partnered with Mina on this particular journey, what was so amazing is that they listened to the girls. Oh. They actually changed the cup. The look of the cup, the feel of the cup, it's softer, the way in which the cup is positioned. And yeah, we've had lots of laughs.
I've seen it.
We've had lots of cries as well about some of the stories that the young ladies tell us. And it's difficult sometimes not to realize that you cannot turn a blind eye.
Absolutely.
But you cannot change the world. There are things that are beyond your control, but we have had very positive feedback from the girls out there, from parents, from schools. I mean, schools tell us, thank you for coming and bringing Mina here, because now we don't have blocked toilets. You know, we have ablution facilities, which are in better conditions. So it's really about bigger impacts. Absolutely. And a story beyond Mina.
And I want to pick up on that last point. I mean, we've got to keep it real here, particularly for men, boys who are listening. It's often men who are in charge of money in corporations who have to take these decisions. We may think that this is some sort of niche discussion going on Cape Talk and 702. And it's not. This is fundamentally about human rights, Dr. Motlane. And I mean, I'm still learning. I'm in an early part of my journey, helping out a little bit with the foundation. But for example, it's news to me as a man. It's not news to you as a woman that some girls and some women in our country, thousands, end up using bits of bark from tree.
Paper.
They use, what else do they use?
Paper, pieces of cloth.
Socks with sand.
Socks with sand, whatever is available. And you can imagine how uncomfortable it is and the kind of odor, and that's why they stay away from school.
Yeah.
Because especially in very impoverished communities where, as we said, the ablution facilities are so poor, and where they might face physical assault or rape on their schools, it's very difficult to even go to use those ablution facilities. And with that in mind, the cup needs changing very seldom. You know, depending on the flow, you can change it 8 to 12 hours. So it allows you to be in a school day without having to change the cup.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes a huge difference to the experience of going to school. So yes, I agree. We can't address all people's anxieties around the cup. But certainly, you know, when we were moving into KwaZulu-Natal, we were told that there, you know, it's very unlikely that there'll be acceptance of the cup. And we were amazed, you know, girls want the cup. They know, they understand the difference it makes when they have to choose between bread and a sanitary towel.
Yeah.
It's going to be the bread.
Or the indignity of using paper, using socks.
Absolutely. You know? Who wouldn't choose that over the cup?
Absolutely. Yeah. So important. Let's take a quick call before we take another break. Ivana, you've been holding on. Thank you so much for your kindness and patience. You want to share something with us or ask a question?
Hi, CBS. I just wanted to say I'm such a huge fan, and I'm so grateful that you've opened up the platform for us to speak about such an important topic. I just wanted to call in and say that I've facilitated the MENA Cup for over 1,200 girls.
That's stunning.
Within the Western Cape, with a brilliant organization, FEM Projects, for the Teenage Health Program, with Transnet. And it was a life-changing experience for me, seeing girls from different backgrounds and seeing their lack of resources and how this sustainable option has changed their lives as well. And I just wanted to bring in Sheila and Lauren's call as callers, because I think a lot of people have this idea that it's a pilot, you know, it's a project that we just go in, we tell them what they do, and that's it. But we go back to schools three times. So we go with the initial, with a MENA Cup and a Dignity Pack of toiletries. And then we explain to the girls how to use it. And we go back to look, to check up in a month's time. And then in 2 months' time, we go back and we check up again. And we realize that there's so many girls, the take-up rate goes higher every time we go back because they become more comfortable with us as facilitators. They also become more comfortable with the idea of using it. Mm. And those who are still, you know, concerned about whether or not to use it as a young child, I wish I had known about Mina when I was younger, because I know that it would have been easier to wrap my mind around it when I first had my period. Once a child is used to a certain way, it's very hard to change that perception. But what we did as facilitators was we used the cup as well, so we could explain to them, we could say to them, look, we've used this, we've tried different ways of inserting, we've tried different ways of cleaning, and we were able to explain to the girls from a lived experience. And I think that made all the difference, especially if you're going from YouTube, you know, going from YouTube tutorials and all of that, it makes it, like, it's still very intimidating. Yeah. But once you've spoken to people who've used it, who've tried it, and different ways of doing it, I think it's less intimidating and less intimidating for young girls to try. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for having this topic. It is such an important topic, and I hope that Mina will just grow in leaps and bounds. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivana. Thank you for the work you do. And thanks for your generosity. But it costs us nothing. That's the point. Sure. And it gains us a lot as a society. I don't know why this is off the radar. I wish we didn't have to have this conversation. There's not much need for us to have a conversation around making condoms easily available. I mean, we should. But that's less important because that seems to be on everyone's radar within the state. Mm-hmm. And yet something that is an important part of the sexual and reproductive human rights that women are entitled to seems to be off the radar. And of course, we know why that is the case. Hashtag because patriarchy.
An exciting new Cape Town private school, Raelam Preparatory, is set to transform the educational landscape through its innovative and progressive approach. Situated on Berkshire Boulevard, Sunningdale, Raelam Preparatory's focus is on redesigning education for the future. In partnership with Garden Cities, Raelam Preparatory will open its doors in 2019 for children aged 3 to 13. For enrollment information, contact us on 087-806-2303.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
So lots of people are curious about the product, Dr. Mutlane, and asking some very basic practical questions. For example, how easily available is it? Where can one buy it? How much does it cost?
So, for those that can afford to buy a cup, we have a strategy for everybody to get involved. So, for women users, even men, you can go and buy a cup at retails at $3.99 at the Wellness Warehouse nationally, and they're available. And for each cup you buy, you donate one, because we often get requests from communities and churches to provide cups, and we try as a foundation to do our own distribution in addition to partnering with corporates. And then the second way, obviously, is if you have a CSI budget, you open your heart and your purse to Mina. We can also, you can contact us at minacup.org info@minacup.org, and we will then take your details and take it from there, meet with you, and really look at the various options in terms of working together to distribute the cups to girls.
Okay, so that's info@minacup.org. You can also go to the website, which is minacup.org. How much did you say it cost at retail?
$3.99.
Okay.
And for each cup you purchase, you donate one.
Which is absolutely fabulous. But the other thing about the price, right, is the value for money. How long does the cup now last, the current version? How many years? How? About five?
We say five, but it's up to 10 years.
We're conservative, five to 10.
Yes. So we don't want anyone else holding us over the coals.
If you are a good accountant, but if you're a good accountant and we are conservative, and this cup can last you 5 years.
That's right.
You have to think about that price in relation to the longevity of the cup, right?
And what it would cost you to use alternatives, for example, sanitary towels or tampons.
So it's a massive saving.
It's massive saving.
From the point of view of Transnet, Shimona, what is your message to other corporates out there and other foundations within the states, for that matter?
Well, Eusebius, I'd like to throw down the gauntlet and challenge others to pick up the thread of investing in young girls. But that investment should not be hit and run or ad hoc. You need to understand that investment needs to be sustainable. And if you consider 5 to 10 years, it means that you can start with a child entering high school, and that cup is going to last that child when she finishes in grade 12. And that is the aim. I mean, the aim of Transnet and the program has been, our mission still remains, reduction in absenteeism, increased participation in academic and social activities, and really leveling the playing field in terms of gender disparities that exist out there, as well as issues of equality.
Absolutely.
So Mina's taken us on an amazing journey. I think we want to thank the MENA Foundation for holding us to task, knocking on our doors so frequently and giving us the education of what can be done and how things can be sustainable and life-changing.
Absolutely. Khumotso, to the people who have lots of money out there, corporates, what is your message to them? Why is this important?
This is me saying to everybody who has money out there, I mean, 400 rand is something that I think working people can afford. Can you please dig deep in your heart? This is not just an issue. It's a human right. A girl should not have to pay to do something that her body does normally without request. Mm. So this is me saying, please, this, I'm a girl, I use it, and I know the realities of life. Can you please just find it in your hearts just to give out a little bit? And I mean, Mina, for every cup you buy, you donate. So it's two for the price of one.
That's right. And for me, this is fundamentally a human rights issue. That's why we need to get involved. This is not a issue affecting and in the interest of exclusively girls and women in our society. All of us as a society are called to action here. It matters. And those of us who are boys, who are men, who are wired physically in such a way that we don't menstruate, we don't often think about what it is that girls go through. I had a lovely little conversation now off air with Khumotso about the awkwardness of getting boys and men and dads and older siblings sometimes involved in the conversation if you're a girl. There's a lot of shaming around the bodies of women. It has to stop, and it has to stop now. And even when you have, for example, sanitary pads being distributed in schools, because those have to be distributed every month, there's also more of an opportunity for our girls to be preyed on by some teachers. Not all teachers, but by some. Some want to see proof that you are menstruating. These are the kind of things that I'm learning working with the foundation. Now, we empower girls to be a little bit safer if they have a product they can be in control of, and you don't have to have some menacing teacher, male or female, demanding that your body be inspected every time you go to them for example, for sanitary pads. So the advantages are many, and you've heard a lot of them on this platform. If you reach out to us here on this show, we can put you in touch with the MENA Foundation. Otherwise, go to menacup.org. What was that other crowdfunding?
Yes, so today we launched the Thunder Fund for the WITS students in partnership with Amnesty at WITS. So this is a call to action to everyone who's been touched by this show today to please join us. Together, we can make a difference.
So where are the details for that? How does that work?
If they can just Google Thunder Fund, and it will come up the site where we have the crowdfunding.
Okay, I'll have
it's
a look at that.
THUNDA.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'll get that as well, and then I'll tweet it.
I'll also
put it on Facebook. Dr. McLanna, thanks so much for coming on. We'll see you on the show again soon, won't we?
Yes, you will. Thanks, you.
Beautiful. Both for your brains and that voice. Love it. Khumotso, you are stunning.
Yes, thank you very much.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to study philosophy and political economics.
Oh, yes. A girl after my heart. You can stay. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. Shimona, you guys do such beautiful work. Thank you so much. And I want to affirm the work that you do. And thank you for coming on today.
Thanks, Eusebius. Thank you.